You're listening to Wheelationships.
We're going to finish up real quickly this morning. First thing we're going to do is finish up. I want to go back to something I said last week. We started last week, and I want to make sure you understand something. We had a little after-class discussion with a couple of you. This will be part three of talking about being single. The statement was this that we made last week: dating isn't only for marriage. And I just want to clarify and make sure you understand why I was saying that. Yeah, I don't know. There's a word there somewhere. I don't know what it is. Dating is a pretty big subject all by itself, just the whole thing. And I know for some of you, you may be in that stage. For some of you, it may be your children or grandchildren that you're scared about being in that stage. And so understand that statement, dating isn't only for marriage, is said in context. That's the word I was looking for. In the context of discussing being single and being at that point where you're also seeking to be married. And in that context, in that situation where you're single and you're actively seeking to be married, you're at that stage of life where, yeah, I'm kind of scoping out and looking. It's important to realize that in that a guy asking a girl to go out to dinner or a movie, it doesn't have to be serious. It doesn't have to be a pre-marriage event. Even if you're looking and seeking, don't treat every date like an interview. That's the context I was saying that in. It doesn't have to be I'm checking out what kind of spouse you would be kind of thing. It's okay, in other words, not to put that pressure on each and every date. It's okay. At the same time, what I want you to understand is it's okay not to date. It's okay if you're single not to date. You don't have to date to get social interaction. I wasn't trying to say that either. It's not the only way to get social interaction, and in many cases, it's not the best way to get social interaction. So, okay? Everybody clear on that? Yes, ma'am.
I was saying at the same time, 12 or 13.
And at the same time, 12 years old, 13-year-old. No. You don't need to be dating for any reason, okay? None. All right? Okay? What?
I think it's okay for my daughter to start dating when she's like 30.
Yeah. Under close supervision.
You're in the back seat with a shotgun, right? Yeah. What does that mean?
All right. Yeah, we could go on that for a while, but we're not going to. Okay. All right. So, however, if you are single and you are seeking to be married, then we were giving some practical advice for marriage seekers. And again, married people, you need to listen as well. And real quickly, we'll run through the five that we did last week. There are seasons for not seeking marriage. There are seasons for not seeking marriage. If you have to have somebody at all times, then you're probably involved in relationship idolatry. If you just got to have somebody, even if you're sure that God wants you to be married, it doesn't mean it's going to happen right now. There are seasons for marriage. Secondly, we said understand the gift of singleness. Understand the gift of singleness. God wants to use you just as you are. One of the biggest excuses people have for not being involved in ministry is they use the excuse of their particular circumstance in life. They say, "Well, I can't be involved in ministry now because I have to take care of this or I have to take care of that." It was the same thing that Jesus with the potential disciples that came to him said, first let me go do this, first let me go do this. And Jesus said, no, if you want to serve me, let's do it now, just as you are. And we make those excuses sometimes. And so we say, you know, when I get more time, when things settle down, then I'll get involved in ministry. You know, I got this and I got that and I got this. And God says, I know you got this and that and the other thing. I'm not asking you to get those all solved. I'm asking you to serve me and to serve the body of Christ. So if you're single, you might say, well, if I had somebody, then if I was in a relationship, then I could be more effective in ministry. Actually, God wants to use you now where you are with what you have. And when you're single, there's this gift of not having to devote time to somebody else. You can devote that time. So it's a gift. Thirdly, get more serious about seeking marriage as you get older. Get more serious as you get older. And we said also act your age. If you're, you know, as you start getting older and you're starting and you're dating, then you can spend less time having fun and with one particular person. If you're dating that person on a regular basis, then you don't have long before you start toying with emotions and expectations. Then fourthly, do not allow yourself deep emotional involvement with a non-believing person. Do not allow yourself deep emotional involvement with a non-believing person. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. None. Zero. And we shared a couple scriptures. All of these points we covered last week, and you can go back on the podcast and listen to them. We.faithnfm.com. And fifthly, we ended with this: feel attraction in the most comprehensive sense. We let physical or emotional attraction be our first filter. You know, whether we look at somebody and go, pooh, or we look at them and go, ugh. We let that emotional first response be our filter, and we need to turn that around. And remember, we said, remember the goals of marriage. Remember that marriage is about the two becoming one. Marriage is about us drawing closer to Christ in unity with Christ through our relationship with each other and helping each other with that. And let that be your first filter. Can you be a friend with them first? Okay, so those are the first five. Any comments or questions on any of those before we move on into the last five? And we'll do these pretty quickly as well. Number six, don't let things get too passionate too quickly. I could probably just knock out those last two words. Don't let things get too passionate. Go back to two things we've already said. You go back to the first piece of advice we said, which was understand the seasons of marriage. The big thing about seasons of marriage and looking for a spouse is when those emotions are high. When you've had a big event, something go on, you just come out of a relationship, emotions are high. And so it's the emotional part of this. And if you're very passionate, then your emotions are high and you're going to make some bad choices, some bad decisions. And then the thing we just said about feel attraction in the most comprehensive sense, you put those two things together and you see when our emotions are really riled up, when our emotions are really going, then they're very difficult to contain, they're very difficult to control, and they tend to talk to us a little bit louder than everything else. No matter what kind of good advice we have, no matter what we think and what we know, what we've read in the Bible, when their emotions are really high, they tend to speak loudest. And we begin to see things only from that emotional state. Remember, this is about when you're seeking to be married, the important things are character evaluation and getting this comprehensive assessment of the other person, of the character. And that becomes almost impossible when the emotions are way up here. When we just feel that love for them and it's just, okay? This is true even when there's nothing physical happening, okay? Simply obsessing romantically about the other person you know, oh, and, you know, you making up all kinds of fantasies in your head of how wonderful they are, and, oh, they're the best things since sliced bread. And it makes the emotions go high, and things get difficult to contain. And then if you add anything physical to it, and we'll talk about that later, but if you add the physical component to it, then show's over, okay? The emotions just are way up there. So the thing about these deep emotions is that we mistake the deep, fantastic emotions for love. And so you have to go back. What is love? What does it mean to love someone? At the basic level. Not a rhetorical question. I'm looking for an answer. What is it to love someone?
Put your life before theirs.
Maybe there's a problem here. Right? Let's discuss that. Put their needs before your needs.
At least I said something.
Yeah, that's good. Appreciate it. Way to get the ball rolling. That's good. What? Putting their needs. What is it? Serving, being other-centered, being you know, laying down your life, all of those things. That's loving. When we see them as a person, when we value them as a person. And the problem is when those emotions get high, we start seeing them as an object of our desire. We, instead of all of those, you know, serving, sacrifice, commitment, seeing them as someone who is redeemed by God, who is God's creation, who's God's son or God's daughter, we start just kind of idolizing them as this heroic, perfect, sublime thing that is customized to meet my needs. So in somebody said, instead of being attentive, we are acquisitive. Instead of attending to their needs, we are acquisitive. We're trying to acquire from them what we need, what we want. This other person, the emotions are high, and it's not so much that I'm in love with them, it's that the way I feel when I'm with them. And I like acquiring that feeling. I like getting from them what I need. We like being seen as someone who is desirable enough for someone else to love. And those big, fantastic, emotional feelings do that for us. So you have to be careful. Don't let things get too passionate. 7, don't become, you'll like this one, a faux spouse for someone who won't commit to you. Again, we go back to act your age, and as you get older, it gets more serious. This is the other end of the spectrum from letting things get too passionate. This is when you've achieved that best friend status, and you're getting all you need. They're getting all they need. And so it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And faux, meaning fake, don't be a fake spouse for them. Don't be a stand-in spouse for somebody who won't commit to you. You know, they're receiving all the benefits other than sex. Okay? If they're receiving that benefit, then what you got left? Nothing. Okay? But they're receiving all the benefits, and they just don't have to pay the cost of commitment. Don't be there. Don't be that person. They might even insist that they only want to be friends. Yet the relationship is way more than friends. They're getting emotional, relational needs met beyond what your other friends would provide. There's this verse, Matthew 7:6, don't throw your pearls to pigs. They'll trample the pearls in a turn and attack you. You heard that phrase, don't cast your pearls before swine? It simply means that see, the swine, the pigs, they don't know the value. And so don't don't continually throw your value out there to someone who doesn't realize what the value really is. That's another thing about sex before marriage, too. I mean, if somebody's wanting sex from you before marriage, then they don't understand the value of who you are. So, if a girl can't see your value, don't waste your time. Which brings up number 8. Don't be afraid to end it. Don't be afraid to end it. A lot of times, couples date for long enough that they recognize the issues with the other person. They recognize the flaws and the faults, and they look past them. They get married because they think that they're going to be able to fix it all, and those issues come back and bite them because they saw the issue. They saw an issue that they weren't going to be able to overcome, but they went ahead anyway because they were afraid to stop it. The period of discovery while you're dating, while you're going through this seeking to be married phase, that's the time where you get to stop it. Afterwards, no. Once you make the commitment, you've made the commitment. So there's this thing in business called sunk cost. And a lot of people get bit by sunk cost. They pay and they pay and they pay and they invest and they invest, and then they say, well, I've invested so much I can't stop. Where gamblers fall down. Well, I've put so much into it, I just got to put a little bit more. And it's throwing good money after bad. Don't believe the lie of sunk cost in a relationship when you're dating. Don't be afraid. There are times where you go, look, this is not going to work out well, and I need to end it. And some people are afraid to end it because they go, but if I end it, I'll never find, you know, this was my one and only true love, and I know we love each other, and I know we can do it. And, if you believe that, and if you believe that you walk away, there's no hope, then, again, you're into relationship idolatry, because God is your only source of hope. That other person's never going to fill that spot. Comments or questions before I go on? I see a lot of comments. Okay. Number 9, get and submit to lots of community input. Get and submit to lots of community input. And by community, I mean the community of believers. There are some people, their input is not, it's not worth it, no. But the community of believers, people who really care about you and care about God and are in tune with what God wants as well, okay? And Christian marriages declare to the world the gospel. They demonstrate the gospel to the world. And so the church has this vested interest that every relationship, every marriage reflects the gospel that the church should be reflecting. And for that reason, it's important that we have places like this. It's important that we have friendships. It's important that we have community where we can help each other and where we can give perspective that we don't always see. Marriage isn't designed as a personal and private decision. Marriage is designed as a public proclamation of who you are. This means there needs to be interaction between singles and married people. Because remember this, you are a person first, you are single second. You are a person first, you're married second. You're a person first. Okay. I have single there, but you could just as easily say married. Okay. You're a person first. You know, being single has its own issues. Being married has its own issues. But you are more singles, you are more like married people than you are unlike them. Married people, you are more like single people than you are unlike them. Because we all deal with relationships. That means much of what singles, much of what you need is the same thing that married people need. Look at this passage. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. That didn't start with married people because of our faith. It didn't start with single people because, no, it's all of us. The same character development, the same issues, the base issues are yours as well as married people. And that's why it's important to get perspective from each other, no matter what your relationship status is. All right? Any comments? Questions? Other perspectives? Okay. We all go through this. Finally, if you think you found the one and you followed all of this advice, just answer this question. Single people, if you are seeking to be married and you think you found someone, this is a very important question. Do they love God more than they love you? Well, you know, they're a really nice guy, and yeah, he goes to church, and sort of. And do they love God more than they love you?
I was just saying, it just drives me kind of nuts. I see so many teens, when you just said, well, yeah, he goes to church. Well, he started going when he started dating you. He had no relationship with God prior to that. It was non-existent. So examine that a little closer.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they love God more than they love you? You got 12 minutes, 11 minutes. Okay, you are an executive. You can do that. All right.
I'm not going to start the next lesson. I told him I'm going to make an executive decision. I got about 10 minutes. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to give you a little preview of what we're talking about next week. I told Tim when I was getting this lesson together, I'm really excited about it, and I didn't think I'd be, because we're talking about the man's headship and the woman's submission. And it's like, ugh, who likes to talk about submission? But when I go through a lesson and I see things from a perspective, what did you say? Did you said you do? You like the submission part? It just caught up with me. You be here next week, all right? I want you front and center right there. But when I go through... Tim, for those of you that didn't see that, he put the laser pointer right over Joe's chest there. But when I go through a lesson and I learn things I didn't know before, or I think I already understand a concept or a biblical principle, but when I go through it and I go, oh, that is so cool, I get excited when I get to share it with you guys. So that's what this next lesson is like. We're going to talk about gender roles in marriage. We're going to talk about how our gender roles play out in our decision-making in marriage. We're going to talk about what happens if one of us is willing to fulfill that God-given gender role and one of us isn't playing by God's rules at all. So come back next week. You have 10 minutes. Don't disappear from this room. Use this as a time to fellowship with one another, socialize, visit. You got, like I said, about 10 minutes before service starts, and you are dismissed when you would like to be. Thanks for coming.